above the church bells start to ring, and as the heaviness, oh, it settles in, and somewhere you can hear a mother sing. Then it's one foot, then the other, as you step out on the road, yeah, you step out on that road. How much weight, how much? Then it's how long and how far and how many times, oh, before it's too late. Through this love, don't leave me alone. Calling all angels, calling all angels. We're trying, we're hoping, but we're not sure. As if, oh, if you could only crack the code, then you'd finally understand what this all means. Oh, but if you could, do you think you would trade it all the pain and suffering? Oh, but then you upon this earth, and the sweetness of the leaving. Calling all angels, calling all angels, walk me through this.
That was Jane Sibri with Calling All Angels. God, I love her. This is Mike O'Haron. You're listening to Mikey Pod on the Bayou. And I played that song because I looked at her website this weekend, and here's what she said. People have been asking for my song Calling All Angels to be more available at this time, i.e. someone will be giving song to re- the giving song to relief workers. I have put a link here. Please send anywhere if inspired. Not just to do with the hurricane, anywhere, that we may do small things with great care in these and all times. Jane. So I emailed her and asked her if it'd be okay to play it on my podcast, and she doesn't own the rights to that song, so she couldn't give me a yes or no on that. But I'm always playing music that's not pod safe or whatever anyway. So and that song is just perfect. The Mikey Pod on the bio. I have a new blog at www.mikeypod.com. You can email me at mikeypod@gmail.com. Jane, you got me all mellow and stuff. I just love that song because it's so much about just moving and doing what, to me, about doing what you feel like is the next right thing to do and looking for that guidance, you know, that comes either from within ourselves or from God or whatever you believe in, if anything. So I say some of this in the recording you're about to hear from where I went this morning. I haven't done a show in about a week and a half, and the last show that I did was the interview with Frances Newton's mother. And I got really disheartened after putting that show out. It just felt like I was so connected to what was going on with this story, and then people don't care. I mean, some people do, and like Reagan Fox did a story about it on his show, and Madge Weinstein has been talking about it on her show. But for the most part, it's disappointing that something like this is going on. And granted, Katrina is horrible. And there's so much that, I mean, on the scale of people affected, Katrina is huge. But to me, this is huge, too. Our government is going to murder someone on Wednesday. And one person, the governor of Texas, Governor Rick Perry, is the person who has the power to stop it. And it's unfortunate that in some ways Frances Newton could be another victim of the hurricane, Katrina. So I had a hard time. And last week I was busy doing a show. I was playing in Assassins at the Hobby Center. I was in the orchestra for that, which was great. I love that show. And especially at a time like right now, I think it's a really great show for people to be seeing. And I may talk about that more next week. But I do want to talk about Frances. Her execution date is on Wednesday, the day after tomorrow. And the only thing that can stop that is Governor Perry realizing or seeing how many people are opposed to this happening. And that means you. It seems like your phone call or your email or whatever, you telling someone isn't going to make a difference, but it is, and that's the only thing that can make a difference. He has to hear from a huge number of people for him to realize that it's a political issue, because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about whether she lives or dies. He cares about his success, his approval ratings, and all that crap. So that's how we need to get this to change, and we don't have much time. If you are in Austin or out of the state of Texas, you can call his office at 512-463-1782. And if you're in Texas but not in Austin, you can call 800-252-9600. There are some other numbers for various other things, excuse me, that are important for other people, and also a fax number. I put all of that information in the blog at mikeypod.com, which is really cute, by the way. So this morning we did a banner drop over 59 so that people who are driving into downtown would see. You know, we're trying to just get as many people involved as possible, or just let as many people know as possible. But I can't emphasize enough, if you're listening to this and you don't want to see another person killed by the state of Texas, then you need to call, and you need to email, and you need to fax, and you need to talk to people about it. It's hard to wake up and to step out of that little world, and but that's the only thing that can save someone's life. That being said, I mean, I hate to be all dramatic about it, but it's dramatic. Someone is going to be murdered by the state of Texas on Wednesday. And there's much reason to believe that she's innocent. I mean, to top off the fact that it's just murder, the fact that she's being murdered and hasn't been given a fair chance, it makes it all the worse. So here's my recording from this morning. Good morning, it's September 12th. I am, it's incidentally 7:05. I'm on my way to a, I just came from Starbucks. I'm on my way to a demonstration. It's right down the street from my house. It's, let's see, Francis Newton's execution date is the 14th. That's, the day after tomorrow? Today's the 12th, 13th. Yeah, it's Wednesday. So this morning, I'm on my way to Hazard, where it crosses over US 59. They're doing a banner drop. It started at 7, so I'm going to be a little late, 7:05 right now. So I'm just going to go there. Now, wow, I'm tired. I haven't even had any coffee yet. Here we go. So, really, I maybe should have started this a little later, but, here's some updates, some Francis Newton stuff. The president of the State Bar of Texas wrote a letter to the governor, recommending that he, grant Francis a stay of execution. The Houston City Council, Quan, I can't remember his first name, he's a member of the City Council, I believe he wrote a, petition and had about eight. From what I remember, there were about eight members of City Council that signed it, also asking for a stay of execution. It's becoming more and more clear to everyone that she didn't have a fair trial and that there's some kind of wackiness going on. So I'm on my way to this thing. I'm already almost there. I just went under Shepherd. From Shepherd down under 59, I took a left, and... oh, wow, I don't even see anyone. Maybe everyone's late. We'll see. I'm going to park and see what I can find. Oh. There's something else going on this morning. I can't remember what it was. I looked on the website. I think it's downtown, but to be perfectly honest, I have my registration on my car is expired, and I get nervous about driving downtown. Maybe I should just get it renewed. Gosh, I don't see anybody. Gosh, I love it when I say something like that. There are a couple of other overpasses, so if I don't see anyone here, maybe they told me the wrong place. I called yesterday. It's been a strange week. I haven't done a podcast in a while. Because, after the last one with the interview with Francis, I don't know, I have a hard time, with this. Getting connected with something like that and then realizing how many people just really don't give a shit. And how many people that I respect just don't give a shit. So, it was a little weird of a week, and I got kind of pissed, but then, I mean, I started to wonder how much of that being pissed off had to do with me just sort of seeing myself and the people that I was pissed off at. Like, I posted about it in my live journal, and I put this interview out with a woman whose daughter is about to be killed, and it was like, oh, there are some people, just a couple, but I'm going to turn off and get going. Okay. Now I'm standing on this is Woodhead, right? I think it is. We're on there are two bridges. Well, actually, one, two, five bridges that go over 59 on the way into downtown, and we're on two of them. There's a group over on Hazard. There's a police car over there. That's why I started recording, because they took the sign down, and then they put it back up. So we've been standing here for maybe 45 minutes. I'm guessing it's about 8:15.
So it looks like it's okay for the sign to be up there, but the police are still there, so we're wondering what's going on. We've been flipped off, and I got a thumbs down, but there's also been some really supportive sort of gestures as well. The sign says, "Help stop the lynching. Go to freefrancis.org. Only 3 days left." And then Governor Perry is who we need to talk to. So I'll give all that information in the show notes, how to contact. Another car went over there?
Blue one just came behind the white one.
But we're not doing anything illegal. I guess they'll let us know. But the police came last time, right?
Yes. And they said that what I understood is that as long as we are grabbing it ourselves, that there's no problem. You know, so I don't know what's happening.
We'll see. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was looking for the other car, but...
Well, ask me questions.
Okay, yeah, I'm here with Raphael, right?
Raphael, yes.
And we were just standing over the bridge. I recorded someone we were staying there, too.
It's in the Woodhead.
Yeah, Woodhead, going over 59. So what you were saying earlier about some things that, the things that would need to happen, because there are 3 days left.
Well, what I believe is this. Legally, already the lawyers are working at it, and today there's some outcome from a judge that might help Francis to, you know, to stop the execution. But these are political things that we've been trying to do to pressure the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, to stop this execution. To them, this is not that important. And with the Katrina disaster, a lot of the attention has gone towards the relief efforts. And therefore, a lot of what we were trying to do with this poor lady, Frances Newton, who's going to be executed this Wednesday, if we don't stop it, if we don't try to stop it, or if Rick Perry doesn't really is the only one who now can stop it. Politically, we've been trying to put the pressure, but unfortunately, because of this Katrina situation, we have, you know, the news have been towards that, that the relief effort, and we haven't been able to really get to the media. So what we're trying to do is to keep making lots of noise and using these banners to bring the attention of the people. It's very difficult with this other situation, but that's what we are trying hard to do, you know. And so the thing is to call Perry, to send emails to Perry, to try to put so that he feels the pressure of the consciousness of the people, that they realize that there's something wrong with the with her trial, and that she needs another chance to present her case again. So that's basically it.
All right, great. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you very much for coming.
So there you go. That's what happened this morning. sorry. I think my mic is too loud. No, I guess it's all right. You know, I was thinking while I was listening to that when Raphael said that the only person who has the power to stop this execution is Rick Perry. And I was just trying to imagine what it would be like to be the governor of Texas and have the power to decide whether someone should live or die and to let it happen and to, you know, like whatever paperwork's going across his desk, like just letting it sit there. Like I would let something sit there that has to do with the kids I teach or something. And I feel guilty about that stuff. I feel guilty about not, you know, doing my part as far as just teaching kids music. And but this guy has the power to just, I don't have time to look at that right now, and just let someone die. It's barbaric and it's sickening. And I think there's going to be a point in our future when hopefully we look back at the fact that there was a death penalty with just the same sort of disgust that we look at, you know, people who were put in stocks or slaves being lynched. You know, the same people who can look at that with disgust don't give a fuck about the fact that someone's about to be killed. My language today. So that's that. I think I've covered it. Let me give you those numbers again to call Governor Perry. 512-463-1782 if you're in Austin or out of the state of Texas. And if you're in Texas, 800-252-9600. And you can find more information about faxing and different phone numbers to call. I'll put in the Mikey Pod blog. The police came. I wasn't recording when they came over to our bridge. And it seemed like they were trying to find any reason to make us leave. We had this big banner. It really wasn't even that big. And we were holding it up against this fence that went over the... there's a bridge that goes over the freeway. And we had this banner held up against this chain link fence. And they came and... First, there was one cop. Two cops came. There were two of us standing there, letting people know about someone being killed. And they had to have two police cars. And they asked, they'd come before when the same people were doing this. And I wasn't there that time. But he told us that we could have the banner up, but it couldn't be attached to the fence and it couldn't be touching the fence. But we also couldn't block the sidewalk. So we just... politely agreed to that, and then he sat and talked with the other cop for a while as if, and I'm speculating, as if they were trying to find some reason to kick us out of there. And so they asked us where our cars were parked, and we were both legally parked, and then they just took off. I wonder if part of that is the fact that if there is another trial, that the HPD crime lab is gonna catch some shit, because they're notoriously inept from what I've learned reading about this case. So it'll be, people are going to find out more about that if there's another trial. I don't know if they even cared about that, if that was what their motivation was to sort of harass us like that. And it was a gentle harassing, I must say. But, why two cars and why even the don't touch the fence thing? So that's enough about that. Please call. I got some music for you. This was the Daily Download from Salon.com, and the band is called Dirty on Purpose, and the song is called Mind Blindness, and I quite like it. There's a little like Liz Fraser sounding voice in the background. Let me know what you think.
You were dreaming of the Hindenburg caravan. The morning you died, their black and white eyes. We'll be right back.
Prepare by Lawrence Simon. Leslie woke up to discover her breasts totally gone, nipples and all. Panicked, she wasn't sure what to do. She felt fine, no blood anywhere, just smooth skin where they should be. She called a medical hotline and asked what to do. The response was less than helpful. So she called in sick, took the day off, and spent it drunk, watching movies on television. She fell asleep during Steel Magnolias. When she woke up, they were back, none the worse for their absence. As a welcome home gesture, she treated them to a few $100 at Victoria's Secret.
That was Lawrence Simon with one of his fantastic 100-word stories. That was a Mikey Pod exclusive. He does these stories that I give him a word, and he makes a 100-word story out of it. Something interesting happened with Lawrence and myself this week. I really had no idea about his politics or any of that when I first started taking an interest in having his stories on my show. And then I kind of got my little political, you know, bug in my butt. And so I started covering things. And it wasn't until after that that I realized that we don't necessarily have the same political beliefs. But I think it's really interesting and important to mention that because, and part of why I decided to start the show today with just a song and not saying anything is that the arts are a really important way for us to connect, no matter what. And Lawrence and I connected before, I'm guessing either of us, because I really didn't make any sort of comment about how I felt about many things until just, you know, my past few shows, and he'd already become a part of the show. But in his blog at, it's called This Blog is Full of Crap at isfullofcrap.com, and I'll put a link to this particular entry. He writes about the same thing, and let me read to a part of it. he's talking about Cindy Sheehan, and he calls her Mama Moonbat. So just, you know, I guess he's not real hip on her, but this is what he said. That brings up another odd subject. Some folks have asked me if the lack of a 100-word story last week on Mikey Pod had anything to do with the exuberant interview of the activist he interviewed on Cindy, and the one this past weekend for the Save Some Killer or Another thing. Nope, not in the slightest. In fact, I found those interviews fascinating, and Mikey's newfound outspoken activism is rather refreshing compared to a lot of the bland and passive accounts of political involvement from both extremes of the political spectrum. And it's firsthand, unedited, and honest feelings, not spliced and covered up and made palatable for the public by some MSM jackass reporter exiled to Crawford for a month. And I'll put the link to this later. But then here, I'm getting a better understanding of it all, and it's not the know your enemy kind of thing. I may not agree, but perhaps there's non-foaming individuals among the sea of radicalism that are worthy of respect, and any attempt to broad brush paint the entire lineup as wacko ends up being ignorant in and of itself. So I think that speaks for itself, really. I don't really have any comment to make, except that, that I'm happy that connection was formed. And it's one of those things, like when there's this woman that I worked with, right, I was probably 20, 21, right when I was coming out, and she was so anti-gay, but we became friends, and gradually I was coming out to other people, and I finally came out to her. And the fact that we had connected and she knew and respected me before I told her I was gay caused her to rethink her entire stance on homosexuality. I don't know. It's just little things like that, like just being the person that you are, and also just talking about what you believe in an honest, non, you know, threatening, not threatening, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. And I'm not in any way passing judgment on anyone, because I think there's a voice for everyone. I mean, because as I say that, I think about Madge Weinstein, who has inspired me to start speaking up, and I speak up in an entirely different way than she does. And the more I learn, maybe I'm going to get more wound up, like I tend to, I'm starting to, about some things, especially this execution. But I think that it's not the voice that you have, but it's the use of it. And the fact that all, it's important for us to talk and to tell people what we don't believe in and what we do. It should go into, like, I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them... Okay, I'll stop. All right, with that in mind, my friend Dacus Dacus, or is it Dacus? It's Dacus, I think. Dacus Latt. I know him from LiveJournal, and I'd put you a link to his journal, but I'm pretty sure now I think about it, that it's all friends only. But he's been doing a blog cast, and I like listening to it. I like his kind of take on things. So I asked him if he'd like to record something and be kind of a participant in my show. I like the idea of having different voices show up. So this is the first episode, and it's how I'm going to close out the show. This is Dacus Talks number one. And he's talking about podcasting, which is interesting. I don't know. I think that podcasting is still really new to a lot of people. So listen. Y'all have a good week. Visit the blog, www.mikeypod.com. Email is mikeypod@gmail.com. Instead of my usual begging for emails, I'm going to beg you again to call Governor Perry. Unless you're in favor of the death penalty and Francis being murdered, in which case, just email me and tell me that he doesn't need to know. All right, thanks for listening, you guys, and do say hello if you have some extra time after you talk to the governor. I'd love to hear from some people, and that's it. Here's Dacus, and thanks again for listening. And I'm trying to make this smooth, so I'm going to fill some time right here by telling you that I'm filling time, which sort of ruins the effect. Here's Dacus.
Hey, what's up? We're podcasting. Let's talk about podcasting. What is that? Surely people are, not everyone is listening to it on an iPod. I think I've seen stats where people listen to a lot of these on their computer, and I'm sure people have other devices. I see them for sale. I have one. It's not an iPod. But I didn't use it as much as probably some of you use yours. And now they're putting them on phones, and so, you know, there's more outlets. That's a good thing. But overall, what is it? Is it entertainment? Does it replace radio? Is it the new public access? That was a joke, right? No, actually, I knew some people that did those, and some of them were all right. It never reached its potential. Will podcasting? Who knows? I personally don't podcast. I have a blog, and there are some blogcasts in there, but those are an extension of that medium, that online medium of, self-expression. It's not for public consumption, for the most part. But podcasting is. It's directed. It's in a more traditional sense, a focused audience. It's time-shifting, on-demand, reality programming, citizen reporter kind of stuff, and it's not going away. There's going to be hype. There's hype about anything new, and there's going to be bad, and there's going to be surprisingly good. Surprisingly entertaining. Personalities evolve. Here I am. Someone says, "Hey, I'll give you a time in my program, and you could do a segment. What do you do? What do you talk about?" Like I have a voice. Like I have something to say. Who wants to hear what I say? Who wants my opinion? It comes down to trust, I guess, because you just assume your friends want to hear what you have to say because you know them, and there's trust. At least you think it's there, and you go ahead and spout off on things. Truth is, probably few of them are really listening. In their mind, they're going, "There he goes again." Maybe podcasting is that way. It's definitely about trust. You know, there's so much news coming at us in so many avenues today. There used to be a trust with regards to news and the voice of so-and-so. You trusted them on their voice. You heard that voice, and you knew you could believe what it was saying. Walter Cronkite, great example. Paul Harvey, great radio voice. Podcasting could be that way, I guess. But the trust really comes more word of mouth. More so-and-so pointed me to this webpage or blog, and so-and-so listens to this podcast, and we're like-minded. It is, it's about trust. And it's about source. There's so much news coming at us today, and we realize, or we've discovered very quickly, just how much like the initial internet, with all of its hoaxes and all of its spam and all of its urban legends, just how much of the real news becomes corrupted with propaganda, people who are paid to type out something and put it on a page and make it look like news, people who are paid to sit in White House press rooms looking and acting like real, educated news reporters when they're just someone with an opinion, someone like you. And now everybody has that opportunity if they want to take it. And yet there's this mix of reality, you know, this reality programming fetish that we've all seen go through our entertainment. It's coming out in this realm also. It's merging with this in a way that's really kind of new. I mean, when you look at it in hindsight, you know, in the beginning of the internet days when it became really popular, I've got a homepage and Kofi's on my homepage. And then there's suddenly, it's like, oh, everybody discovered webcams and you could peek into people's lives. And it was like homepages were, look at me, listen to me, I'm important, look how I've got this place on the internet. And then it's like, peek into my life and I'll show you things with the webcams, and then the web blogs with the I've got an opinion on everything, and no, this shit's going on in my life, and it's emotional, and la 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 la. And then blogs kind of took on a different kind of, you know, collaborative kind of thing, and now there's this podcasting thing that just I'm sure video is kind of come in there somehow. I mean, you have people producing fairly decent programming, informative programming, and on a weekly or monthly basis, and, you know, some of us are watching and like, hey, this is my new favorite show. Will that come down to the personal level? Maybe so. So, given the chance to say things, given the chance, given the opportunity, hey, here's your chance on the stage to say something. What are you going to say? You may not just have just one chance. You may have chance after chance. And whether or not it's important, I'm sure it is to somebody. Will it be rife with fakery, fraud? Will podcasting find its spam? It's possible. More than likely, since it's an oral medium, more than likely it'll be somebody faking somebody else, pretending to be a voice you trust. But it won't last long. The time between something perpetrated in our discovery is shortened. We just saw that with the fake news and all the scandals that came out of making things up. So we're getting smarter. We're communicating with each other. We're hearing each other. We're going, hey, they're just like me. Hey, there are more. The world is getting smaller. And we're becoming better. And communicating better. That's it for me, y'all. Peace. Talk to you later.